If you look at this overhead slide, the template that we have been using for this sermon series, over on the side it says heroes of the faith. A hero is a person who is admired for their courage, their outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. We have seen some of these things in the characters that we've studied, but we've also seen faults and weaknesses. They're not people for whom we all want to emulate in every way. The point of the series is not exalting these people as heroes, but looking for the lessons that we are able to learn from their lives, to see how we can relate, understanding that, yes, they are people that struggled just as we do. We can learn profound lessons, as we did last week through the life of David, seeing how he didn't try to justify, but acknowledged and confessed his sin. We got a glimpse into God's unfailing love, as God didn't reject him because of his sin. Through these characters, we also receive warnings, giving us examples of what not to do. In the video, the man portraying Solomon made the comment, "You tell people how God is real, but they become distracted and turn away from him." The thing is, this is what was true of Solomon. He became distracted and turned away from God. Distractions crept into his life and caused his downfall. The lesson we can learn from his life is asking ourselves, am I heeding God's warnings or am I distracted? The name Solomon means peace or peaceable. And when Solomon was born, the prophet Nathan also gave him the name Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. His mother was Bathsheba. And what a beautiful picture of God's restoration out of the relationship of David and Bathsheba to have this son. David declared Solomon to be his successor, even though Solomon was not the firstborn son. An older brother, Adonijah, tried to seize the kingdom, but his plans were thwarted. Solomon began his reign well. And this is what it tells us in 1 Kings 3, 6 to 14. And you should be able to follow along here. Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." In verse 7, he says, "I'm but a little child." He was actually around 20 years of age at that time. But he realized that he was like a child in terms of his new responsibility. He recognized his need for guidance as he assumed this just significant and very daunting role. And when God asked him, "Ask for whatever you want of me," his response demonstrated a humility and a recognition of his need for God. He knew that he needed great wisdom in order to fulfill his calling. God answered his prayer more than he could have asked or even imagined. We too can face daunting situations. Maybe none of you are asked to rule a kingdom, but how about leading a business, leading your family, deciding about your future? or facing a difficult situation. God promises to give us wisdom if we ask for it. James 1:5, James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." As we face the various challenges that come our way, we can ask God for wisdom. He wants to grant this to us. But wisdom in and of itself is not enough. Christ is the one to whom we are to pursue. In the New Testament, we read that Solomon was indeed a wise man, but that Jesus is wisdom itself. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It's as we seek Jesus that we are given all that we need. He is the one to be our focus and our desire. One of the tasks that was given to Solomon was to build the temple. David wanted to build the temple, but God told him that no, Solomon was the one that was chosen to do this. Solomon began working on the construction of the temple. He used cedars from Lebanon, huge stones from mountain quarries, and laborers from all over Israel. The project took 7 years to complete. And in 1 Kings 8, we read this beautiful, heartfelt prayer by Solomon. He leads the people through a dedication of the temple. And God pours out his love and favor to Israel, filling the new temple with his glory. Then after completing the temple, Solomon embarked on several other projects. In Ecclesiastes 2:4-6, Solomon describes several of these, saying, "I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. And I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees." Being busy with all these projects and the accumulation of all the wealth and all his wives, Solomon ends up finding little time for the Lord. And here's where I get back to the piece that I mentioned in the very beginning of the importance of heeding God's warnings and the downfall of being distracted. 4.5 centuries before Solomon began as a king, God laid out the qualifications for kings. Deuteronomy 17:16-17 tells us, "The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send his people to Egypt to buy horses. For the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. The king must not take many wives for himself, because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. And he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself." Solomon did each of these things that were forbidden for a king. He had many wives. He went down to Egypt. He multiplied horses, and he gathered for himself silver and gold. This is what it says in 1 Kings 11:1-4. "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, 'You must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods.' Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives," can't imagine, "and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been." The tragedy is that Solomon did not finish well. He was led astray. His heart was not fully devoted to God. The man who penned and preached 1,000 wise things failed to practice the wisdom that he taught, turning away from the Lord. And I want to read to you a portion from a book called Talk Through Bible Personalities. How would you do it if you were Satan? How would you draw a person away from his love for God and his desire to serve him? Whatever your tactics, you know that defeating Solomon will be an uphill battle all the way. As the adversary of God, you have a real problem on your hands. How do you topple his bedrock commitment? How do you cast a shadow across a life so radiant with faith and love for God? You might think back on all your other victories. Thumb through your favorite strategies file. And remember how you had ruined the lives of so many of God's people down through the years. But will these well-worn techniques work on a Solomon? Well, how did you approach Solomon's father? Let's see now. Where is that David file? There's Dan, Daniel. No, there was a wasted effort. Darius, Dathan. Ah, David. Oh, how could you forget? David was crippled by a direct frontal assault. One withering blast of temptation at a moment of weakness was enough to sweep him off his feet. Very satisfying indeed. But Solomon. Solomon is much too wise for that. Your eye catches the Eve file. One of your all-time favorite files. Oh, what a triumph. And all it took were a few well-placed questions to open a wedge of doubt in her heart. Simple, very simple, but oh so effective down through the years. But Solomon, he has much too much discernment to be jolted by a line like that. No doubt about it, Solomon presents a tactical situation that requires all the sophistication and subtlety you can muster. For a job like this, you'll have to make use of a special weapon. From the depths of your darkest closet, you bring out that strategy you've been saving 1,000 years for just such an occasion. Carefully you unwrap it, turn it lovingly in your hands, and admire its subtle beauty. What was Satan's secret weapon? Really, it was so simple. All the adversary had to do was to get Solomon preoccupied. And this is where the cunning ingenuity of Satan's scheme emerges. Building projects went on and on, project after project, year after year. Saws and hammers echoed through the city, and Solomon could be found at each construction site, his great creative mind deeply involved in each aspect, each detail. All too soon, however, Solomon found himself a tired old man. Looking out over everything he had built, all the marvelous buildings, parks, and projects, he could only shake his head sadly and say, it was all emptiness, waste of time, like chasing the wind. The years were gone and his heart was far from the Lord. Preoccupation. What a master stroke by Satan. The secret weapon worked like a slow poison, gradually diverting and distracting Solomon's eyes from the Lord, gradually chilling his love for God and his zeal to serve him. By the time Solomon realized what had happened to his life, it was already too late. He was an old man. Life was behind him. Opportunities were behind him. And all he could do was pen his bitter regrets. The preoccupation weapon worked well, so well for Satan, even on the wisest man in the world, that he has continued to employ it down through the centuries on God's people. How many of you can relate to that? Preoccupation with so many things around us. Pressures of work, taking kids here and there, doctor's appointments, cooking, cleaning, emails. They can be good things, but they can take away our focus. I read earlier about the warnings and directions that God gave for a king and what a king was to do. Listen to one other thing that God says that kings were to do. In Deuteronomy 17, it goes on to say, when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. And it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. A king was to read the word of God every day. Solomon, unfortunately, neglected this. He didn't keep God's word ever before him. And his heart was turned away from God towards other things. So many wives, buildings, and wealth. It didn't happen overnight. God had provided warnings. There were things that kings were to do and were not to do to ensure a long, prosperous reign. But Solomon did not heed these warnings. And he became distracted, disregarding what God had said. Disasters come when we do not heed warnings. We've witnessed a lot of natural disasters lately, this past year. Back in 1938, there was another major hurricane that struck the east coast of the United States. And William Manchester wrote about it in a book, noting, "Among the striking stories which later came to light was the experience of a Long Islander who had bought a barometer a few days earlier in a New York store. It arrived in the morning mail, and to his annoyance, the needle pointed below 29, where the dial read, Hurricanes and Tornadoes. He shook it. He banged it against the wall, and the needle wouldn't budge. Indignant, he repacked it, drove to the post office, and mailed it back. While he was gone, his house blew away." God provides us with warnings, things to protect us. The question is, will we heed them? Or will we think they're false? Though they just don't matter. Or even be so focused on other things that we get distracted and we don't pay attention. In the book of Revelation, one letter is addressed to the Christians in Laodicea. Like Solomon, they have become preoccupied with pride and wealth. And it was to these people that Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him, and he with me." This verse in Revelation 20 is often used in reference to people who do not know Jesus, encouraging them to then invite Jesus into their lives. But this verse is written to a church, to people who were Christians. And even though they were Christians, Jesus was on the outside of their affections, outside the door of their heart. It's so easy to be busy and distracted from seeking God's daily presence. The tactic of the enemy to erode us is so subtle, and we end up leaving Jesus on the outside of our lives. We have to heed the warnings that we read in Scripture of how easy it is to be distracted and preoccupied by the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17 tells us, "Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on its way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity." Friday is my day off, and I was going to visit Vi Meech's daughter in the hospital. I don't think Vi's here. She did want me to pass on her gratitude for all the cards and phone calls. And then after I was going to visit the hospital, I was going to get my hair cut. Well, before leaving, I just wanted to have a cup of coffee and sit down and do nothing. But having this sermon in mind, I thought, no, I need to make sure I have some devotional time. And as I did so, God was so gracious and gave me this encouraging word through the devotional I read. And as I was looking back at it this morning, I realized I even read it on the wrong day. This is how it began. "Do not be discouraged by the difficulty of keeping your focus on me." God understands. God knows our weakness and how easily we can get distracted. As you hear this message of Solomon, don't be discouraged, but rather may it be another stirring, a wake-up call to ask the questions, am I heeding God's warnings? Or am I distracted? The end of the devotional said this: when you realize that your mind has wandered away from me, don't be alarmed or surprised. You live in a world that has been rigged to distract you. Each time you plow your way through the massive distractions to communicate with me, you achieve a victory. Rejoice in these tiny triumphs, and they will increasingly light up your day. Let's pray. Lord, I confess, I so often get distracted and leave you on the outside of my life. This certainly is a successful ploy of the enemy. Lord, thank you that you know our weaknesses and that you are continually knocking at the door of our hearts. You hold the keys to an abundant life, not all the things around us that pull us away. And as we've seen in the example of Solomon, I pray that you would remind us to heed your warnings, to not become distracted, and to instead give you our focus, to give you, Lord, our heart, welcoming you into every area of our lives. We ask this, Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.